You know, I heard a story about a woman, and this woman was very lonely. She was really sad, and she needed a companion. And so she thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to a pet shop, and I'm going to get myself a parrot. And so she went to the pet shop, and she brought back the parrot. But the parrot wouldn't talk. And so she decided, I'm going to take the parrot back to the pet shop. So she took it back the following day and said, you know, the parrot that you sold me, it doesn't speak. And he said, you know what it is? Parrots, they need to be happy if they're going to speak to you. So what you need to do is you need to buy a mirror. And if it has the mirror, it'll be happy, and then the parrot will speak. And so she bought the mirror, took it home, and the following day, it still hadn't spoken. So she took it back to the pet shop and said to the owner, look, the parrot still isn't speaking to me. And she said, you know what? Parrots, they need to be really happy. What you need to do is you need to buy a ladder. What will happen is it'll climb up the ladder, look into the mirror, it'll be happy, and therefore it'll speak. But the following day, after she'd bought the ladder, the parrot still wouldn't speak. So she took it back again and said, the parrot, it's still not speaking to me. What's that all about? I said, oh, you know what? It's obviously not happy enough. You need to buy it a swing. So she bought the swing. She took it home. She put it into the cage. The parrot swung on the swing, climbed the ladder, looked in the mirror, still didn't speak. So she took the parrot back to the pet shop. And she said, with a really sad face, she said, the parrot died. The parrot died. And the owner said to her, please, please tell me, you know, did the parrot say anything before it died? And she said, yes, it did. She said, the parrot commented and asked me a question. She said, did that pet shop not sell any food? You know, sometimes we forget the main thing. Sometimes all the trivial stuff, it gets in the way. And I want to make a point to you this evening to say the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Okay? I want you to repeat this after me. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Very good. Now, sometimes, of course, we can spend so much of life thinking about the trivial stuff, all that stuff that kind of gets in our way, and the truth is, it doesn't really matter. And then we can ignore, or sometimes avoid altogether, some of the things that are the most important. Now, when you heard these testimonies, when you heard these stories this evening, my guess is that you too could relate to some of the things they were saying. How some of you guys as well have chased after things which actually have never really helped you to find any kind of satisfied life. And to be honest, I spent a whole load of years in my life as well searching for things which I thought would satisfy me, which I thought would bring me lasting joy and fulfillment. I've got to say it, but one of the biggest things that was in my life was sport. Now, anyone who watched the game this afternoon will realize that the sport is not going to bring you lasting fulfillment. It's true. I spent years of my life chasing stuff, right? I'm sure you guys can relate to this. It was designer clothes that kind of, you know, make me look appealing and make me connect with other people. It was the latest games consoles or you know, I had to get that bigger TV because as soon as I got the bigger TV, then everything would be great, right? But, you know, I realized that I spent years buying things I didn't need with money that I didn't have to impress people that I didn't like. I spent years searching for joy, happiness, fulfillment in relationships, in chasing after women without ever knowing or ever connecting and realizing that that's never going to satisfy me. And so then I thought, okay, surely it's travel. Travel is the thing that's going to, you know, really connect with me. It's going to be the thing that makes me happy. And so I jumped off waterfalls in Thailand. I climbed mountains in the Himalayas. I bounced around 23 different European countries and did the roller coaster thing in America. And you know what? There's nothing that's ever been able to satisfy me. It's a kind of a glimpse in the air, and then 5 minutes later, you're dry again, you're empty again. And then I thought, oh, you know what? It must be success. Success must be it. You know, good grades, university, where you get all the parties and all the fun and all the, you know, enjoyment. And then, you know, I'll start my own business. Surely those things, they'll satisfy me. But you know what? Every time two, 3 days later, a couple of weeks at best, you start to realize that these things are empty in so many ways. Surely it can't be like some scientists might suggest, that we are just kind of floating lumps of flesh, no more significant than a boil on the behind of a baboon. It can't be the case. See, let me tell you, it's not true. You and I, we are so much more important than that. We are so much more significant than that. And you know, I was 24, so it was 5 years ago when I started asking some really big questions. I wanted to know, what is the main thing? What is the main thing? And I started asking questions about God. What I found has radically transformed my life. And it's that I want to just spend a few minutes speaking to you about this evening. You know, if you boil down the main thing, the Bible says very clearly that the only lasting, worthwhile relationship, and in fact, the purpose of our lives, is to know God and be loved by Him. Christianity is about a relationship and not a religion. It's so important that we understand that. It's not about rules and regulation and religion the way I used to think it was. It's about a relationship. And throughout the Bible, it describes how that relationship should look. How is that going to be? How is the interaction with God going to be? And so it talks about how God's people will walk with God. It talks about how He would want to be among His people. How we should know Him. How we should be like beloved children of God. And you know, the problem is, what I've realized is that there's just this gap. God seems so distant. He seems so away from us at the time. Why is it so difficult for us to connect with this relationship if that is the reason that we're here on this earth? You know, the truth is, there's a barrier between us. There's a barrier. It's almost like a smog, like this kind of thick sense which separates us from God. It's called sin. And it's a problem. It's a problem. Just like oil and water, God and sin don't mix. He is a holy, righteous, pure, powerful God. And sin, which is rebellion from His ways, affects and it stops us from having that relationship. And you know, the truth is, that is a problem for every single one of us, from the first to the last, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, no matter what your background is, whether you're young here this evening or whether you're old here this evening, sin is an issue. You know, I heard about three friends who went on a fishing trip. And when they were out there right in the middle of the lake, one friend said to the next, he said, I've got a really good idea. Why don't we share our deepest, darkest secrets? And so the other two said, okay, you know, we could do this. We'll go for that one. So the first one said, you know what? My big problem is lust. I just can't get people and things out of my mind. I'm lusting all the time. The second one said, you know what, mine's money. My big issue is the fact that I just crave money and I need money and I want to spend money. And the third one said, mine's gossip and I cannot wait until we get home. Now the truth is that we have all done things wrong. We have all done things wrong. We have all fallen short, every single one of us. There's selfishness, there's pride, there's been lies. And so we're separated from this holy, perfect God by our sin. And we're unable to have the relationship that actually we were designed to have. But, and this, let me tell you, is the single most beautiful but there is in the world. That is not the end of the story. We know that it's not the end of the story because you've heard three incredible testimonies this evening about how it's possible to have a relationship with God. I want to just share with you one particular incredible Bible verse. It's from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. And it says this, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men." The way and the mediator between man and God is Jesus Christ. You see, God knows the depth of the problem. He realizes how separated and how alone we are. And because of his incredible love, because of his incredible love, he chose to restore and make a way for us to restore that broken relationship by sending Jesus Christ to come to earth. You know, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the image of the invisible God. It says he's the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Now, in other words, if you want to know what God is like, if you want to know how God is, how he treats people, what he is like, look at Jesus. You know, Jesus lived the most perfect life. He came to earth and he healed people. He restored the brokenhearted. He spent time with the destitute, the lost, the lonely, the broken. And he died the most horrific death when he hung on a cross at Calvary. You know, the Bible says very clearly, time after time, that he did that to die on behalf of us. He died in our place for our sin. He took the punishment that we deserved. But you know the beautiful thing is that 3 days later, he rose again. 3 days later, he conquered Satan, conquered death, conquered sin, and is alive and well. Jesus came on a divine mission. It was a rescue plan for the whole world to rescue each and every one of us. And this gift of God is called salvation. He saved us from an eternity without him. You know, there was an artist who was very famous, and he went back to the village where he was born. And he was walking around the village stores, and he saw one of his paintings in a store window, one that he'd done when he was only very, very young. And it was way before he was famous, but he knew immediately, this painting is mine. That was the one that was mine. Now, the interesting thing was that the frame was broken. There were scratches down the painting. It was dirty. It was dented. But it was his. He knew it was his. But, you know, he couldn't just go into the store and say, that's my painting. Give it me back. If he wanted it back, he had to buy it back before he could restore it and before he could put it back together exactly how it was supposed to be. Do you know, in a similar way, we, through life, just pick up debris. We pick up dents. We pick up dirt. We pick up all sorts of garbage and scratches through our own fault and often also through the sin that's committed against us. But Jesus pays the price to bring us back. By dying on the cross in order that we might be restored and put back together again. Let me tell you, that is good news. That is good news. And you know, this evening, I want to give anybody here an opportunity to come into that relationship. If you know here you're here this evening and you've never given your sin to Jesus, if you know you've never received that forgiveness, if you know that you've never been restored and you feel free in that relationship, then I want to give you that opportunity this evening. There are four things in particular that happen when we receive that gift. Forgiveness, freedom, friendship, and a future. Four F's. Makes it easy to remember, right? Forgiveness, freedom, friendship, and a future. So let's unpack them a little bit. The first one is forgiveness. Now, for those of you who know your Bible a little bit, you might have heard of a preacher called John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was pretty hardcore, right? He used to, you know, call people, you know, brood of vipers, and, you know, he's a little bit further out there than I would be. But, you know, this guy, he was a radical preacher. And in between his sermons, he ate grasshopper sandwiches, by the way. However, without any kind of publicity, thousands and thousands of people were compelled to go into the desert to hear him preach. They would hear him speak, and he would say, repent. Repent from your religious ways. In other words, turn from what you're doing. That's what repentance means. It means turn from what you're doing. And he said, get baptized. Now, imagine just for a moment with me that John were wanting to get organized. He wanted to get really official and well together. And so what he did is he installed booths into the desert, right? So when people went there, what they would do is they would write their name on a piece of card And then beneath it, they would write their biggest sin, the worst thing that they've done in their lives. So they'd come out to John at the river. He'd look at the name, he'd look at the sin, and do the baptism. No messing around, no mucking around. Get him down, it's all good. And so the first person, he'd say, you know, what's your name? I said, my name's Gary. And what's the biggest sin that you've committed, Gary? And Gary might say, I want what other people have. I'm a coveter. This is Gary's badge right here. And even the next person might come up after he's baptized him. And say, okay, you know, what's your name? Well, my name's Kath. And Kath, what's the biggest sin that you've committed? And Kath might say, I'm a liar. Kath might say, you know, I've lied. That's something I've done in my life. And he would baptize them. And then the next person would come up, Alan. Alan says, I'm a thief. I've stolen things. There are things in my life that I've stolen. It was wrong. I know I need to be baptized. The next person might be Sarah. Sarah says the biggest sin that she's committed is that she had an affair. She's an adulterer. And so these people would keep stacking up. We might have John. John had an issue with anger. We might have Julie. Julie misused the name of the Lord. She was a blasphemer. She did something which is forbidden as well. And then there's Ruth. Ruth dishonored her parents. Ruth slandered her parents. It was wrong. It was a sin in God's eyes. But you know, John the Baptist is stood up listening to all these people, and then someone else appears. Someone else walks up, and he says, what's your name? And the badge says, Jesus. John the Baptist might say, what's your biggest sin? He says, nothing. None. He was sinless. John the Baptist might say, well, what's your smallest, littlest sin? None. I never sinned. Do you know, here's what Jesus did to buy you forgiveness. He took on himself Ruth's sin, Julie's blasphemy, John's anger, Sarah's adultery, Alan's theft, Kath's lies, Gary's coveting. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. He took our sin onto himself. And you know, this evening, he gives you that same invitation. He gives you that same invitation. We have all broken God's laws, all of us. Jesus came to liberate us from that. He came to set us free. And you know, the interesting thing, of course, is that if we've broken one, it means we've broken the whole lot. It's broken. The second thing was freedom. Jesus said, if you obey my teaching, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, true freedom comes from knowing Jesus. He's the one that embodies truth. Just knowing the facts, it's not enough. You can know your Bible inside out without ever really having a changed heart. What matters is that you know the one who is truth. You know, for a time when I was exploring Christianity, I was frustrated. I didn't feel like I was getting the answers fast enough and kind of scratching around, looking for answers until I put my trust in Jesus. And you know, the fascinating thing is that my mind from that point was actually illuminated, and I was able to find out more answers than I ever knew before. I began seeing things so differently, just with a purpose, with a direction. And you know, my father said to me, not long after I became a Christian, he said, you know what, Steve, you've been brainwashed. And I've thought to myself since, you know what, Dad, I have been brainwashed. But if he had any idea how much my brain needed washing before I became a Christian, he would have been so, so pleased, let me tell you. The third thing was friendship. You know, receiving Jesus means that that relationship with God, which was so distant, so separated, has been restored. It means that we're back in community in the way that we should be. His promise to you then is to give you the Holy Spirit. He says he'll come and live within us, and he'll guide us, and he'll care for us, he'll counsel us, he'll support us no matter what we're going through, and empower us to live the dynamic life that we always wanted. You know, Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. if we seek fulfillment from things, like objects and sports and relationships, we're not going to find it. But by seeking Christ, we find the most fulfilling friendship imaginable. The final thing of my four is a future. You know, Jesus Christ was the most loving man who has ever existed, let me tell you. He said the most beautiful things. But he said, ultimately, men and women are traveling along one of two roads. He said that men and women are serving one of two masters. Men and women are building their life on one of two different foundations. He said that men and women are going into one of two doors. And he said that men and women are going to one of two destinies. Heaven and hell, which is just eternal separation from God. Why would the most loving man in all of history say those things unless they were true? You see, this is serious. This is serious and so significant. It doesn't just affect your life here, but it affects your life for the rest of eternity. Forgiveness, freedom, friendship, and a future. It's this relationship which is the main thing. It's this relationship, what God did. This is the main thing.